Good morning, everyone. We are trying something a little bit different today, and so I'm excited to have Beth here, not only as a worship, doing our worship for us this morning, but we're just going to have some Java and Jesus today, or some coffee and conversations. I hope you've got a cup of coffee, too, or maybe some orange juice, I don't know, but I hope you've joined us today and tuned in, and just grab your Bible and your notepad, and who knows what the Lord might speak to you before the day's over, right? So welcome, Beth, and thanks for joining me today in this different format, and so I'm excited to do this. Beth and I have just been talking and sharing just in general conversation, talking about the power of connection. And I think you can talk about that in a lot of different ways, the power of connection, the power of the connection of us with us and the Holy Spirit, God, our personal connection, and then the power of connection with friends and the people that we connect ourselves to. And then also I think the power of connection with our local body and our church is such a vital, has always been such a vital part of me. I mean, me growing up and you growing up, it just has always been part of our life. And so I see people, you know, and even in our own group, and you know, what I'm hearing is everybody say, man, I just so miss hanging out together. I miss the church. I miss gathering. And it's not like we have a shortage of the gospel being preached, or, you know, churches across the nation are doing. So it's not that we aren't getting the word or worship, but we're missing that connection.
Yeah. And we were talking, you know, we're creatures that like to be together and to worship together. Mm-hmm. And so now that we're doing it via Facebook, or I posted a video this morning on the volunteers page with the worship team, we Zoom. So even though that we can't be physically connected, we have so much technology and, you know, sending cards out in the mail that I'm actually feeling like I might be connecting a little more with people than, you know, being here with everyone. Not that I don't love that and cannot wait for everybody to
be
back,
together. Sure.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's made me connect a little more with people from all over.
Sure, and it kind of stretches you to find ways to do that, you know. And so we're thinking about that, the catchphrase and the big topic right now is social distancing. We're social distancing from everyone, and honestly, that's not true. We are physically distancing. You know, we physically are not to be, you know, to be quarantined and to stay away from large groups and things like that. But fortunately, even though we are physically distanced, we are socially connected and spiritually connected.
Yeah.
You know, as you were saying, I mean, we've been able to do some things even just with our own folks, some, you know, some secret sister things, some pew sister, you know, some cards and emails and phone calls and just different ways that we can connect. And for me, the power to connect with people, like I say all the time, you guys know, and, you know, in service, that I love my quiet time. You know, I get in my car and I sing to the top of my lungs, and you know, I was on my lawnmower the other day and I'm just singing my heart out. That's just my private time, you know, my devotional, my meditation time, but I love corporate worship. Don't you agree that there's something?
Yes. I miss everyone. There's just something about being in an atmosphere with people of like faith, with, you know, the same intentions, and, you know, just to create that atmosphere for God and the Holy Spirit to work. But at the same time, you know, we're connecting via that social media. But sometimes it can get lonely too, you know, when you're isolated, you know, maybe you're at home with your family, which is great. I've enjoyed tremendously being at home with my girls. But you know, some people are home alone or, mm-hmm. you know, need a little extra care. So That lonely part, you know, it gets to you after a while. And so I was thinking about scriptures of, you know, people being alone in the Bible. And God was really just speaking to me like, you know, you may be alone, but that's a time for God to really reveal some things to you that, you know, sometimes we just don't have the time. And so we kind of feel like we don't get to things that maybe God has spoke to us. Well, I didn't have time to do that today. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, now we have the opportunity where we're you know, we're at home, we have the time to put into it. And I really feel like, even in my own life, that I've been allowing God to speak and to really think, okay, well, this is the direction, or these are the ideas that I have, and I want to move forward in that. So I've been, you know, loneliness is a part of all this, but I think that God can do some really big things in those quiet times.
Right. And thankfully, you know, just what you were sharing about, you know, the loneliness and things like that. Thankfully, even when we are alone or in those alone times, that we can go back and find a podcast, or we can find resources to speak to our hearts, or even reach out to somebody. And
friend.
Yeah. I mean, you were sharing the other day even about Jesus being in the wilderness by himself.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Jesus was lonely.
Yes.
Yeah. It's okay if you get lonely. The big guy gets lonely too.
Right. Right. You know, and I thought back even to the beginning where the scripture says, God says in the very beginning, it is not good for man to dwell alone. And so he made a help for meet for him for Eve, you know, and I thought as I was thinking this morning, you know, it's not good for man to dwell alone, but it's probably even not worse for women to dwell alone. Like, don't you think that women are you know, like men laughed at us all the time because women don't go to the bathroom by themselves, you know, and you know, guys are just different. But, you know, not that guys don't have that connection, because, you know, Jesus hung with the disciples and David and Jonathan were knit together. I mean, there's, you know, men need men. And we say all the time, you know, giant killers train giant killers. I love this story that David was a mighty man, but he was not a mighty man by himself. You know, he did not stay alone. And David had men in his company that were mighty men, that were giant killers too. Like, we talk about David, the great giant killer, but he trained giant killers. And that's so powerful that men need that connection with mighty men. You know, when David's in the cave of Adullam, you know, and we laugh and say it was the ultimate man cave when David was actually in the, you know, the cave with the guys. And the scripture says that they were discouraged and depressed and in despair and all of that kind of stuff. And David had to be an atmosphere changer. David had to be the one to say, come on, guys, we can do this. Let's rise up. Let's go into battle. So it's not just female, although I think sometimes female, we do better in groups.
Well, I think, and maybe you're different, I don't know, but your tribe, I think you have different friends. You know, you have this friend that you can go to for this, and this friend you can go to for that. And so I think sometimes, when we're alone, take a minute and think, you know, whatever problem you're having, say, I don't know, your kids are driving you crazy. Call a mom who you think is really good at doing that job and say, what do I do? Or, you know, I'm feeling this way. And I can guarantee you that they're going to say, I've been there. Yeah. Hang in there. You know, you just need that human connection, and you find a friend to either be that pillar of strength for you, or maybe you're that person and you're training the giant killers. So it's good to find the be a glass half full kind of person. You know, there's always a blessing, there's always a miracle in whatever situation. You know, you can be in the worst storm possible, but the storm will end. You know, you may have to go back and pick up the pieces, or put your ship back together and make a raft. That's okay. Yeah. As long as you get to shore, then you get to start over. So,
yeah, everybody got to bed tonight and they were all good. Everybody was safe, right? You know, I give the illustration sometimes, you know, we start out even like the school year, you know, you start out, you're that mom, you get up, you fix the breakfast, you got bacon and eggs, you got toast. Yeah, the lunches are packed. Yeah. The kids all close their match. And by the time you get to the spring, you're like, get that granola bar and get in the car. I don't care if your socks match. You know, it's just, you just have those days sometimes. And sometimes reaching out to somebody and just laughing about it together and say, hey, you know, I am not the mom of the year today, but we survived it. You know, we did it. But, you know, I think about the, you know, when the female lions, and they hang together in prides. And they said that, you know, they groom each other. Yep. And they actually feed each other's young, you know, they nurse each other's cubs. And they are also each other's mirrors. And those are three powerful points that have always stuck with me that, you know, we need godly women in our life. We need strong women.
Absolutely.
We need somebody that sometimes can say to you, hey, girl, you got this, you know. And, you know, we help watch out for others' cubs. Like, it's not just important that my kids do okay or your kids or whatever, but it's important to me that your kids do okay. And
right,
we can.
The pride.
Yeah. Yeah. That we are watching out for each other and
right.
that we are grooming each other's kids. Like, I want your kids to be successful too, you know, and that we become each other's mirror. And when I thought about it, I thought, wow, that's powerful because you have to be careful who you allow to be your mirror. You know, to look at you, like not everyone has your best interest or gives you a true view of who
right.
you are.
Yeah, you have to be careful who you share your dreams with. You know,
yeah.
you want to make sure that it's someone who is going to support you in that and not crush it.
Right.
Even by accident. You know, people can kind of say, oh, well, you know, that's kind of a dream. And even though they don't mean any harm, sometimes you think, oh, well, maybe. So it's very important to find that spiritual connection, who's going to be your supporter and sharing the same dreams that you do.
Sure, and an honest voice. Like, not every friend will be honest.
Right, yes. Every
and not everybody's ready for honesty either, you know?
But that's a very important friend to have, too, you know, because sometimes we think that everyone thinks the same way that we do, and so that honest friend, you know, can say, well, you know, other people might not see it this way. So honesty can be tough, but in the end,
it's important.
It's very important.
Yeah, and so I love that. I love that connection. You know, we talk about the female buffaloes and how that when the female buffalo gets ready to give birth, that they say that the other buffaloes will circle her around and protect her from, you know, the wild beast or whatever that would come in against her while she's in a vulnerable position or against her young, or her offspring. And wow, what a powerful picture that is, you know, of, you know, there are just times when you need the buffaloes to surround you. You need your pew sisters. You need, and like I say, and that's powerful for men too, because the connection between Jonathan and David was so powerful, and Jonathan should have been in line for the throne, but they weren't in competition. Jonathan recognized the calling and the anointing on David's life, and he said, hey, bud, you know, you got this, you're God's anointed. And, you know, he stripped himself of his robe and his garments and his sword and all of that kind of stuff, and he gave it to David because he believed more in the calling of David
right.
and God's calling and anointing than it did about him having position or having, you know, a name or a place. And so, you know, all through the Bible, we see those powerful connections.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are so many, like you mentioned the other day, Mary and Elizabeth. And, you know, just like getting such, I mean, I can't imagine being Mary, you know, just having all that laid on me and think, gosh, now I'm responsible for the fate of the universe, you know.
Yeah, all mankind.
Yeah, like, okay, thanks, God. And then, you know, not even, you couldn't have even let me get married first, or you couldn't have done this, but it's such a powerful picture, too, of God's timing. But anyway, as Mary being able to connect with Elizabeth because of what Elizabeth was going through, instead of Mary beginning to feel like she wasn't worthy or people, you know, were scorning her because she wasn't even married yet and it wasn't Joseph's child. And just the, because of that connection with Elizabeth, how everything played out exactly the way it was supposed to.
That she could embrace that calling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that I think is powerful that Gabriel says to Mary when he comes to her, and he says, you know, hail thou who art highly favored, and, you know, you're chosen, and the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. But he says, and your cousin Elizabeth is with child as well. And Mary knows, Elizabeth, that has got to be a miracle.
Right.
So what does she do when she finds out that God is speaking something to her? And, you know, sometimes God will start to speak things to you and say, God, how can this be? How could this ever pan out? Like, I want to embrace it. I want to believe what you're saying, but how can I believe for this? But yet he drops that little phrase in there and he says, your cousin Elizabeth, and something in Mary says, I need to connect. And again, there we go, that power of connection. I need to connect with somebody who's feeling what I'm feeling. And that's what's powerful about coming together even in the worship. I want to connect with somebody who's feeling what I'm feeling, who God is tugging on them, who God is challenging them to do something bigger than themselves. You know, and so she says the very first thing that Elizabeth does that we know is she connects herself. I'm going to pack my bag, says I'm going to go see Elizabeth. You know, and Elizabeth, the scripture says that Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months when she was with child. And I always thought, wow, you finally got all that you've prayed for. God finally gives you a child and you hide yourself. But, you know, I preach it like this, that I believe that Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months because she wasn't going to let anybody talk her out of her promise.
Yep.
Because up to that time, baby's not necessarily moving. There's no ultrasounds. There's no blood tests. Like, how do I know that I'm with child? You know, and if I get around enough people who are talking negative, I'm going to talk myself out of my blessing. I'm going to talk myself out of my promise. But if I can connect with somebody. And so when Mary walks up and says, when she salutes Elizabeth, That baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb, and there is the power of connection that Elizabeth's baby comes alive. You know that moment when you feel that first movement of that baby. You know, up to that point, you keep thinking, am I? Am I not? You know?
The wondering.
Yeah, the wondering. But yet, when you start to feel life move inside of you, nobody's going to take that from you.
And what a feeling that is to have that. You know, it's one thing to get a prophecy or a word and to wait on it, you know, and it's going to come to pass and to come to pass. And but that moment when the baby leaped, I think, gosh, what Elizabeth was thinking, like, okay, this is it.
Yes.
I have my confirmation, you know, this is happening. Okay, God, I'm ready for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And the scripture says then that Mary stays with her 3 months. So Mary, you know, Elizabeth hides herself for 5 months, and then we see the angel Gabriel comes, and then Mary gets there about the 6th month, and that baby's starting to move, and she stays for 3 months. That's 9 months.
Yep.
And so my thing is that, you know, Elizabeth said, you know what, I'm not going anywhere. I am going to wait with you until I help you birth your promise. Because if you can birth your promise, then I can hold on and believe for mine. I can trust God that if he can do the unbelievable, the incredible, the supernatural with you, then he can do it for me too.
And what a connection between Jesus and John. You know, later in life, as far as I know, they had never met until... He sees him in the river, and it's just like old hat, you know, like, hey, buddy, come on in.
Yeah.
Wash me. And I just always have loved that, too.
Yeah, because we don't really see that John and Jesus have much connections. But the scripture says that when Mary salutes Elizabeth, that baby leaps in her womb, and John's filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so there is a spiritual connection between them before there's ever a physical connection.
Yes. Yep.
And so that when they step on that shore of Jordan that day, and the scripture says that when Jesus walks up there, John just parts the crowd and stops his preaching and says, ladies and gentlemen, can I introduce to you today the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Yeah. You know?
Yeah, and it wasn't like Jesus came to John before the baptism and said, hey, I'm going to be here about 5:00. You know, I'm going to need my introduction.
Yeah,
it wasn't like that, you know, and which is awesome, too, to think about us when we're away and not feeling very connected, that the power of the Holy Spirit has the ability to keep us connected. It was so weird the first Sunday that I came to do music to an empty church. It's like crickets because...
it's just different.
I feed off of your faces and your emotions and the atmosphere that we're creating together. And so I did the first service and went home and I thought, oh my God, that is so weird. I don't think I'm going to like that. So talked to God a little bit about it. And then the next Sunday I came back, started singing, and I could feel it. You know, you get those goosebumps, and I thought, gosh darn it, you know, you just proved to me that it doesn't matter. As much as I miss everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So much that going back after worship, I'll get out and I'll look at the comments and see who's on there. And it blesses my heart that even though you're not here, but you are here. And now I can't wait to get here on Sunday morning. You know,
yeah.
It's just the Holy Spirit has the ability to keep us all together and to all be connected. And so just reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, have a friend, have that person that you can talk to.
Absolutely. That even that time, like you say, when John and Jesus weren't connected physically, there were still a spiritual connection. And so, you know, when they come together in that Jordan on that day, and John says, you know, man, I'm not even worthy to unlatch your shoes. And there's a whole lot of customs and things that can goes with that, but we're not going there today. But he says, I'm not even worthy to unlatch your shoes. And Jesus says, oh, no, John, let it be so, that the words might be fulfilled. And, you know, that connection, when they come together in that Jordan, you know, and we know it's a picture of our, you know, when Joshua comes into the Jordan River with the mercy seat, when they get ready to cross over, there's a changing of the guard, there's a shifting, there's something shifting, and we're in a season right now when things are shifting. And Joshua doesn't know what to do and where to go. Like, he's the man in charge. Now everybody's looking at Joshua. The Moses season has come to completion. And so I think there's some things that are shifting of what the Moses way we used to do it and a Joshua way that we're getting ready to do. And when Joshua steps into the Jordan with that mercy seat, the scripture says, and he gets the priest and they've got the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, and they step into the Jordan. The scripture says that the waters roll back and they walk across on dry ground and they cross over. And then fast forward, we come all the way into the New Testament where Jesus, who is our heavenly mercy seat, steps into that same Jordan with John on that day. But the waters don't roll back on this day, but the heavens do. And when the heavens roll back, the Spirit of God descends like a dove on him and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so there is a connection that happens with us in the earth that I believe opens the heavens.
Just like you said, I think, you know, this is a time where God is really changing and giving us some new ideas and giving us some time to see those things through. And I think, you know, even though this season in our lives has been a little difficult, I really believe that there's going to be some heavens rolling back and some things that God's going to do and say and people are going to be touched and healed, and I think a lot of wonderful things are going to happen.
I agree. I mean, you know, the Lord, you know, we started the beginning of the year, like probably a lot of people did, talking about 2020 and having 2020 vision and focus this year. And God spoke to us Sunday after Sunday and said, focus, just stay focused, you know, and keep our eyes on what God's doing. And I, even through this, okay, it's okay, God, what direction is this going? What are you trying to say? What are you always, you know, whatever I'm going through, I say, God, what are you saying? And what are you trying to teach me? And help me to learn that, you know, help me to focus on there's something happened here. Don't miss what God's doing because you get distracted by the negativity of things, you know? And so, keep focus. And I see God shifting things and I see things happening and I see people getting connected and people who are reaching out that have never reached out before or had the opportunity to reach out. But now because media has us in those kind of things. But, you know, in connection even to talking with John the Baptist, one of the things that the Lord spoke, that I felt like the Lord dropped in my heart and spoke to me, was the scripture when Jesus says to his disciples, come ye apart and rest a while. Like, Jesus even had to social distance.
God rested.
God rested, yeah.
You need it.
Yeah. God rested. And so he said to his disciples, he said, come ye apart and rest a while. And so he draws his disciples apart, away from the crowd, away from the demands, away from the chaos, away from, and they're doing good things. You know, it's not like their world is full of just frivolous stuff. They're doing good things. But he said, you know what, guys, we need to pull apart and rest a while. And this happens on the heels of John the Baptist being beheaded. And, you know, when we see that Jesus gets word that John the Baptist has been beheaded, And you can say that he's God and he's not affected by anything all you want to or however, but Jesus was very God and very man. And so, you know, we see that he realizes that John the Baptist, his cousin, his friend, his forerunner, has been beheaded. And I don't care who you are, there are some things that you walk through that have some impact on you. There's some things we walk through, rather, you may have lost somebody dear to you and you still struggle with that sometimes. You may have chaos in your life right now and it may feel like your world's falling apart. I mean, it may feel like there's some struggles. But what Jesus did, he said, come apart and let's rest a while. Because not only do I think he feels the loss of John the Baptist, but I also think he realizes that John said, I must decrease and he must increase. So not only is the decease of John happening, but the increase of the kingdom of God and of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. I believe Jesus realizes at this point, I am about to be catapulted into that which I have been sent for. This is the moment for which I have been created. And so I think he realizes that. And on the verge of his ministry about to explode, he takes the disciples and he says, come ye apart and rest a while. Everybody needs some downtime. Everybody needs some quiet time. Everybody needs a break. And sometimes we struggle. I know I do. I struggle with reaching out for that. I struggle with just allowing myself to rest. But what's powerful about this, Beth, is that outside of that moment and that time, that little bit of social distancing or physically distancing, the multitude of the 5,000 are waiting on them. The very next thing that we see is Jesus is about to feed the 5,000. The miracles are about to explode. The miracles are about to happen. The multitude is waiting for somebody who has the goods. The multitude is waiting for somebody who has bread and fish, something of substance. And when we talk about bread, we know it's the body of Christ. We know it's the word of God. They are waiting.
Absolutely.
For that.
And I think, too, that I've, and I'm just sharing this with everybody, and you can take it for yourself if you want to, too. But in that being physically distanced from everybody and having that alone time and asking God, like, well, what is it that you're trying to do? Or, you know, all of those questions that we ask God. And he continues to tell me the same thing over and over. And I'll just ask him a question, and he'll say, get ready. Okay, God, well, what is that? How are we going to do this? Get ready. So I feel like there's a prophetic word for this house, for someone who's watching, that
amen.
Whatever you're asking God, get ready. Whether that means, I don't know. I don't know what that means for you. And maybe it's just for me, but
I'll take it.
I really believe that there are some things that God is going to do out of this that are going to be so wonderful. So anytime you ask a question to God and he says, get ready, this is your confirmation in that. If there's something that you want to do, or, you know, a healing, or whatever it is, just get ready.
Get ready. I love that. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Yay. Amen. Get ready. And you know, part of God speaking, you have to have in preparation.
Right.
You have to receive that word, prepare your heart to receive it, and then the willingness to do what he does.
Walk in it. Yeah.
Yeah, and what I love even about the miracle of the feeding of the multitude, Beth, is not just that Jesus walks out and he takes the bread and he blesses the bread and breaks the bread or whatever, but the disciples say, you know, Jesus says to the disciples, feed them.
Yeah.
And they were like, say what? Like,
yeah, it's one thing to pass out the bread, but like, we're getting low here, Jesus.
What do you want us, how can we possibly feed this multitude? How can we take what little bit we have? And sometimes I think that is our biggest challenge, is we think we just have this little bit. And how could that possibly be appetizing to the multitude? How can that meet the need of the cry of creation?
Right.
And God just says, He begins to take the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he begins to put it in the baskets, but he doesn't give it out. You know what he does? He puts that in the hands of willing vessels, the disciples, and says, now here, you go feed the multitude. And they start to pull out of that basket that God poured into. Yeah. And all of a sudden, we realize there's more in there than I thought. Yeah. Yeah. And the goods are there. And God puts a demand on the gifting that is in them. And I believe that's what's going to happen a lot, too, in this season, is God is putting a demand on some giftings that have set dormant. People are going to pick up a pen and or a pencil and begin to write songs or books or, you know, journals or whatever it might be. People who are learning computers, people are learning cameras, people are learning worship, people are learning songs. We are being stretched and challenged because there is a multitude awaiting this time of rest, this moment of social distancing, this downtime. At the end of that, it is not, it's going to be hit the ground with the boots.
Yeah.
You know, hit the ground running, because the cry, the demand, the need, God's going to pull out of the vessel what he's already put in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just, and we're going to be, I can't wait for the first church service when everybody is back together and we can all share, but I think so too. I think there's just going to be a lot of gladness, a lot of, like you said, we've been preparing, you know, and I think it'll be time for those things to kind of come to pass and fruition and be able to see those things. I think that's a big part of it, too, is sometimes we expect a miracle and we want the heavens to open and the lightning bolt and everything to be taken care of. Well, sometimes we forget that he's put that deposit in us, that we can be someone else's miracle. We can be our own miracle.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I think that that's maybe the way that people are going to think about how God is working. You know, like, how can you have church with no people? Well, we can have it with Facebook Live. There's going to be some things that God's going to say, well, you thought you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to show you how we're going to do it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what we bring, shared, and I know some of you have heard some of these things that we've already shared before, but, you know, I love the story of the woman who has the alabaster box. You know, and she comes into the house, and she doesn't feel worthy, and she sits down to wash, you know, the feet of Jesus, and, you know, Simon, you know, is critical, and the Pharisees or whatever, critical of her, and Jesus challenges them on that. But what I love probably most about that story is, and what God has challenged me in that, is she came full. She came ready to pour out. And all my life, you know, I grew up and I would, you know, we would sing the song, "Here I am, Lord, you know, here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole," you know, and, you know, we're so drained for the week. And, you know, I just had to come back and get some more Jesus, you know, and things like that. And God checked me on that and challenged me on that. And he said, you know, that's not the design. That is not the design that we come to the house of God. And praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for those moments when we come in and we've had that week and, like, I am spent and I am drained. Thank you, Lord, for the refreshing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you when you pour in your anointing. Thank you when you pour in that fresh oil and that fresh water. But I believe God is challenging in this day to be an alabaster box, that when we come into the house, we come in full. Ready and we leave out. Empty, because we have poured out everything that we have at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. We've poured out our praise, our worship, our tithing, our giving, our word at his feet. And we leave not so much empty, but we leave with a vessel that's just ready to be filled with fresh oil.
Yep. Yeah. And I love that story, too, of the woman with the alabaster box. You know, everybody discounted her, and her offering wasn't good enough, you know, for everybody else, but for Jesus, she gave all that she had. And wow, what a picture that is of just giving everything in your, like you said, in your worship, in your praise, in your time, you know, now that we're able to do that, and how much he can pour into us and have that life again.
Absolutely. And again, the power of connection. Mm-hmm. She made up her mind when she came together, she was going to connect with Jesus. At the ridicule of others, the risk of looking foolish, at the risk of their condemnation, she said, you know what? I'm going to connect today. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, I'm going to connect. I'm not going home the same. I'm not going home the same way I came.
Yep.
I'm going to connect. I'm going to touch him today. And so, you know, just what, you know, just our theme today is the power of connection. Connecting with God, the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We know that he lives within us. We're never without his presence, that connection. You know, I always say, you know, with as our family being Star Wars fans, you know, and things like that, and you know, Dan's always loved Star Wars. That was our first date, was watching the Star Wars movie. You know, now you know how old we are, right? And so, but I always loved it because, you know, when they were training the young Jedis, you know, they would tell them, don't underestimate the power of the Force. You know, and so I love that because I say that spiritually, don't underestimate the power, the force of the Holy Spirit that's within you. Use the arsenal you've been given.
Yeah, you have the power.
Yeah.
You just have to let it go. And sometimes it can be crazy and, you know, but you learn how to harness that and to point it in the right direction and where it needs to go. And you learn what's good.
Yeah.
You learn what's good for you and for others, and you do everything you can to protect that.
Yeah, and we're never disconnected. No. You know, the internet doesn't go out. It's not buffering. Like, we all know how that works, right? We're not buffering. It doesn't disconnect, right. You know, all of that. So we have that arsenal. We have that power, the connection of the Holy Spirit. We have that force within it. So we have that connection. And then we have the connection of the people we encircle ourselves with. We need to have a strong support system of godly men, godly women around us that encourage us, that spur us on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, we have our physical connection, you know, and all of those kind of things. So, you know, those are the things that I think are powerful in this season. And, you know, just keeping that in mind that Jesus said to the disciples, come ye apart and rest a while. But it was temporary. It was, there was a time limit on it. You know, come ye apart and rest a while. And then out of that came a season of miracles where God catapulted them into. And I said, you know, there's sometimes where God will just like, you know, gently nudge you into something, you know, which just kind of whispers in your ear those sweet things, you know, and he nudges you, the Holy Spirit nudges you into something. And then there's just times where you just feel like you have been catapulted into, you know, like, God, you just like threw me into this. And now how are we going to make this happen? You know, what in the world and how did I land here? But here's the deal. You land on your feet and you pick up where you are and you go.
Right.
And wow, the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God to get us where we need to be, our trust in him, and that comes from always staying connected.
Yeah. Very powerful.
Amen.
Very powerful.
Amen. Well, hey, I've had a lot of fun today. I've enjoyed just sharing some things and having some conversation. I'm excited. I know God's up to something big.
Amen. Me too.
And so, yeah, get ready. Get ready. That's prophetic this morning. Beth is prophesying over you. Get ready because make your heart ready. Prepare yourself, prepare your heart, get your heart ready. Get ready for what God wants to do in this next season. And I believe it's powerful. And I'm so thankful that we are connected.
Amen.
Not just through media or through Facebook, but I thank you that I'm thankful that our hearts are connected. And I said, the thing that I've missed the most in this is the connection to people. You know, when I drop off that food to someone who's a shut-in or someone who can't get out and go or who's been sick or, you know, the widows or whatever, I said the hardest thing for me to do is drop that off and not grab you and give you a big old hug because that's just who I am and that's what I want to do. And that's coming. Get ready. Your hugs are coming. Your hugs are coming. But so I'm so thankful for that, because God's up to something big. I'm thankful for our connection, and I'm thankful for what he's doing in this day. So, hey, guys, thanks for joining us today. Thanks, Beth, for being here with me. We've had fun. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we can't wait to see you. God bless you.